just been corrected, you have to excuse me. tell me what the actual balance of power in local government is, okay. Since you know better than I, Emily, and I will be corrected any time you want to correct me.
In the borough of Islington.
Go on. I thought it was 50-50.
No, that's all right. In the borough of Islington, there's two constituencies, right?
Yeah.
And in Islington South and Finsbury, yeah. Which is this one,
yeah.
All of the councillors, every single one of the councillors is a Lib Dem.
Right.
In Islington North, we have 9 councillors, I think?
9 or 10.
Yeah, 9 or 10. Largely in the north of the borough.
Okay.
And they're the Labour councillors, but the vast majority are Lib Dem. We don't have any Tories, we don't have any Greens.
That's right. I knew that we did. I knew the Conservatives, yeah. Were... They're not active here.
No, not really.
They're having a laugh, as we say, when they come round.
They're having a laugh.
I noticed that there is a different response. I mean, you're getting two responses, aren't you? One of them is in the... That's his phone. One of them is the national that you're answering, and one of them's the local. And I mean, yeah. I've heard you dealing now on several doorsteps, and you're getting sort of mixture of national and local,
of course,
concerns.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I understand. And the national level, I mean, yes, I think the war's been a big thing. I've noticed that several times, you know, that you've pointed out that, that you went on the march against the war, which I think is an important thing to tell people. And
with
your children, exactly. And I went with all the children I don't have. And I noticed that you have been working alongside Chris Smith, who's our incumbent MP, who's now stepping down from Parliament, and he's been a very successful local MP. He's a Labour MP, and he led the revolt in Parliament against the war, the vote, which was a tough vote actually for the government to win. Mm. And as you pointed out, Robin Cook made sure at least there was a vote,
exactly,
because that's not an option that's often given to Parliament.
That's
so,
right.
So your credentials on that, I mean, let's clear this up for the record, are that you didn't agree with it and that you marched against it.
That's right, and yeah. I've been on anti-war platforms.
Yeah,
and I took my youngest child went on his first demonstration, which was the 2 million person march in a pushchair.
And what are your memories of that march? I mean, I remember it vividly.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just amazing how... Well, I remember getting funnelled in, because we went down to Green Park, because the Labour Party, the Islington Labour Parties, were actually part of the march, but I was worried about doing the whole thing with the child in the pushchair. So I went down as far as Green Park, and we stood waiting. We arrived too early, so we then stood and watched the march go by. And then we were looking out for the Labour Party. We just couldn't see it, you know, because there was just so many people.
That was huge.
So we ended up going along the edge, basically. Mm. And then we got sort of funnelled in. And then I remember this awful moment of panic when it was a sort of pinch point. Because, again, you know, I had these 3 kids. And we had this baby in the pushchair. They started panicking. So, but I mean, the cops were really, really good about it and just sort of let us through. And then we got into the park faster than everybody else. Well, everybody else had to go all the way around the houses and then into the park. So we went straight in.
Yeah.
And I just kept bumping into people I knew. But obviously, you know, I really hadn't been on a march that had such a wide range of people in.
That's what I would say.
It's just amazing.
All walks of life.
Yeah.
All ages. Absolutely.
And every background. You know, and every background.
Okay.
No, it was a very moving time. You know? Very moving time. And we then went, we then took the kids... up to West London, and we had an Arab meal.
Which leads neatly onto my next question. Now, my partner is from Palestine, and what's your view on that situation?
Since Oslo, and since the acceptance by the Palestinian people of Israel's right to exist, we have to. I think it's only right that we all start on the basis that that we have to have a two-state solution. That any other solution has just had its time. We've got to move on. Yeah, and. Part of the logic that I think kind of anyone can see once you take on board the idea of a two-state solution is that we have to go back to the 67 borders. We have to go back to that. We have to basically allow the Palestinians to have Palestine as was, or Jordan as was, and a particular part of Jordan as was. And the borders are perfectly clear as to where Palestine ought to be, it seems to me. And the settlements have to be stopped and taken down.
So you West Bank...
Yeah, I have to have West Bank back, of course. And
East Jerusalem as a capital?
Jerusalem as a city, as a united city, an international city, not owned by anyone. It's too important, frankly, to give to any particular nation. It should be run by the world. It's a world heritage city. It has all sorts of residences for every type of religion.
That's
and
true.
And actually, it would be a great symbol of peace.
I think
that's my honest answer.
That's a very good answer.
Whether it's at all kind of, you know, achievable, but I mean,
that's,
you know,
that's
we
what
should
I was
all
say.
Have an object in mind.
No,
you know, that would be my objective.
Well, that was a good big picture answer, actually, and I liked it. And I know that you live here, and I know that you've got children here and schools here.
Mm.
Were you elected to serve for the borough, what would your priorities be?
My biggest priority, I think, is again, I think it comes from my own personal experience. I was brought up by a single parent on an estate, and my mum spent many years living on benefits because she found it really hard, you know, because she couldn't work. And she had, like, when my dad left, I was 7, my brothers were 5 and 3. So, you know, how can you work? You know, you can't do it. So we had years and years of living on benefits, and then eventually she was able to work as we got older. And you know, and I think that is actually what fired me up. I think that my own sense of the injustice of all of that actually brought me into the Labour Party. And I'm one of these, you know, mad-eyed commitment politicians, I'm afraid. So for me, you know, the idea of representing a constituency where half the constituency is social housing, where a fair proportion of them, you know, have kids and who actually find living in central London a struggle, you know, I would really like to be able to play my part in, you know, helping to fight sort of levels of poverty that I've seen, you know, when I've been going around seeing people and knocking on doors and talking to them. That's what I'd like to do. I mean, more than anything else. I mean, there's lots and lots of other issues, but fundamentally, I'm coming from that.
So that's what really turns you on?
Yeah.
That sounds like it's quite a personal...
Yeah, well, I'm on the left.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely on the left. That it sounds like you've got, you know, you don't have to look very far for reasons for you to be there.
That's right.
Okay. I'd had other questions to ask you, but I just wanted to kind of finish up, and I want to ask you, let's imagine that there is another Labour government. There's going to be 4 or 5 years of government, which is going to be progressive. In that time, what would you most like to have achieved?
I think it's incremental, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that, like, just like many major changes in society, they don't happen overnight. You know, we have a very long way to go. I mean, when Thatcher was in charge of our country, she moved all of politics to the right. She moved us away from the idea of us actually living together as a collective, as us living together, relying on one another. And I'd actually fundamentally like us to move our politics back to the left again, so that that is the centre of our politics, you know, so that we do all appreciate that we live in one society, that we rely on one another, that we have a duty to one another.
How's that done? I mean, how would you do that?
I mean, I think we have to start talking about what we're doing and talking about why we're doing it.
More reform of the process, more reform of the upper house, for example, the voting.
Yeah, but I mean, that's not so much important.
Do you not think the continuation of reform in
politics? Oh, of course, no, I'm not
that
saying,
level is important.
Oh, of course, I'm not. I don't mean to be dismissive of it, but and of course, those sorts of things need to be done. But you're talking about the blue sky stuff. The most important thing is that we start talking from the heart and we start talking about why it is that we're in politics and about the importance of why we want to change society and how we want to change it and what we're up to. You know,
we are
redistributing income. You know, we are doing it now, but we just seem to be shy about talking about it, and I don't see why we should be.
So it sounds to me, Emily, that there's more than a couple of threads of old Labour in you here. forgive me for using the phrase, but... you know, old Labour is very much where I come from. So, I mean, I can recognise it. I can see it when I can recognise it. You're not at all worried or hiding from, accusation of being firmly on the left then. That's where you plant yourself.
I'm on the left, and I'm not old, and I'm not new Labour. I'm just Labour.
Okay. Thank you very much indeed for your time.
That's all right. Okay.